Welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words. I'm your co-host, Judy Alexander, and I'm here with my husband, Dr. Bruce Chalmer.
Hello, Judy. Hello, viewers and listeners. Judy, tell folks the title of today's episode.
Healing from Infidelity Through Kundalini Yoga, an interview with Eva G. Kane.
We just finished that interview, and I think you'll enjoy it. She's really neat. She's a lot of fun.
A lot of fun, very energetic, and has a lot of interesting things to say about infidelity.
And her experience of having gone through it, and how she healed from that, and along the way became an instructor in Kundalini Yoga. Mm-hmm. And I did manage to say yoga several times without saying yogurt, although we talk about that.
It just wants to come
just
out
wants
yogurt.
To come out as yogurt. You can tell why I'm not a yogi myself, so no. That would explain why. Anyway, so do check that out. First, let's put in some words for our stuff that we have.
Right.
The books that started this podcast, or the book in particular, well, there's two of my big books and then a couple of little booklets
we have. Okay, so the book that started the podcast is Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back.
There it is, yes. And
And the most recent book, It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
Indeed, and those are available anywhere books are sold. If you go to Amazon, you can also get the Kindle version and the Audible version, where I did the narration. Mm-hmm. And I also have a couple of booklets, which we don't have to go into too much detail about. I will mention one of them you can get for free. I won't even tell you what it is. We'll just whet people's appetite. You can get it for free if you sign up for Dr. Chalmers' newsletter, which comes out just about once a month. Mm-hmm. I have one coming due pretty soon, in the next few days, actually, when we're recording this.
Right.
And that is available from our website, ctn7.com. You'll see a little box appear that you can click on, and that will take you to a little sign-up form where you can sign up to be on my list for my mailing, for my newsletter.
Right.
No spam, by the way. Just I don't give it to anybody else, and the only thing you'll get there will be my newsletter, which I think is kind of cool.
It's very cool.
I have fun
writing it.
Yeah. And let's put in a word for something else you can get from our website, which is our
merch.
We have our beautiful Couples Therapy in 7 Words. Cubs, mugs, what am
mugs,
I trying to say?
Yes.
Mugs, that's
yes.
the word. Cubs,
yes,
mugs.
Cubs.
In the 11 and 15 ounce sizes, those of you who are not able to see these beautiful mugs we are holding up, it has our logo on one side and our motto, Be Kind, Don't Panic, and Have Faith, on the other.
Mm-hmm.
As does our beautiful tote bag, which you can get, which we are touting quite a bit because it's a wonderful
bag.
And T-shirts and stuff like that as well. You can get that from our website, ctn7.com, in the shop tab.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put in a word for our sponsor.
And our sponsor is The Blue Tent, Erotic Tales from the Bible by Laria Zilber.
Yes, and I want to put in a suggestion that if you want to see what I think were some really wonderful interviews of Laria, and you'll actually get to see what she looks like, and that will be quite informative to those folks who are listeners and viewers of this podcast. Anyway, I did the interviewing.
Yes, you did.
I did.
Yes.
For some reason, you were not doing the interviewing. I was doing the interviewing.
You were doing the interviewing.
That's interesting why I was doing the interviewing and you were not doing the interviewing of Laria. Anyway, let people figure that one out on their own.
Okay, well, they can go on TikTok.
They can go on TikTok, and actually they can go to your website. They can go to lariazilber.com and find all those videos there.
That's right.
So Laria Zilber, LariaZilber.com, LariaZilber.com. And if those of you who are actually watching this, you'll see a QR code. We've got a little QR code for our website, ctn7.com. We've got one during this little commercial break for Laria up there, too. So
wow,
I just wanted to mention that.
High tech.
It's just so cool. I hope you'll do that. You know, I do note from our statistics that I think it's about 10 times as many people are just doing the audio as are watching the video.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, the 90% of you who can't see that, just go to LariaZilber.com. But the 10% of you who are watching this video, use the QR code. It's so cool. Or just type in LariaZilber.com. Whatever.
And without further ado, let's get to our interview with Eva.
And we'll see you on the other side.
Our guest today is Eva G. Kane. Eva is a singer-songwriter turned author and level 1 certified Kundalini yoga instructor. Eva graduated from NYU School of the Arts with a BFA in acting through the Lee Strasberg Theater Institute and sings professionally in the New York metropolitan area. Eva's memoir, It's Not Too Late, Baby, a Kundalini love story, delves into how she survived a near head-on collision in her 24-year marriage. It also comes with a CD of her original music. In addition to the album and book, Eva has produced several YouTube videos covering topics like finding love again, how to break habits, and how to cure punisher victim sufferer syndrome. Eva is happy to report for the last 3 years, her marriage has been thriving as she and her
well,
last 5 years,
years,
last
no,
five
no, no,
years and has been thriving as she and her husband now practice Kundalini yoga together twice a week. Her website offers the steps she and her husband took towards overcoming marital infidelity, only to reach a new level of loving and spiritual connection. Eva, welcome to Couples Therapy in 7 Words.
Thank you so much.
Well, we're delighted to have you. It's funny, in talking about this, you'll, I hope, forgive us if we keep referring to yogurt instead of yoga, because for
it
some
just
reason,
comes out.
It comes out, you know. I know it's not Kundalini yogurt, although that would be a good product if you're...
It would be.
I'm sure it's probably, others have thought of that. So, you know, you're a singer-songwriter, and you're also a Kundalini
yoga
instructor. How did you get into each of those? And, you know, tell us something about your own journey.
Well, singer-songwriter, my mother was a singer, and I was always on the piano so much. It was like, Eva, get off the piano and let your sister have time to practice. Constantly playing. And I wrote my first song when I was like 9 or something. There was always music in our house. In the book, I talk about Julian, who is a character in the book, who lived with us with his wife. And they were an African-American couple from North Carolina. And he would take his guitar and sing to me.
Oh, nice.
And lots of rhythm. And I'd be a little baby, you know, dancing to the rhythm. Mm. So I wrote, there's a special song for Julian because he's kind of like my musical angel.
Mm. Ah.
So between the opera that I didn't love, Julie Andrews that I did love, Barbra Streisand and Julian, there was always a lot of music going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kept writing music all through my life. And then when this horrible thing hit me, a lot of music came out, which I encourage people, if they are in that terrible place, to do something creative.
Mm-hmm.
The Kundalini yoga was... Okay, I was working out at a gym a lot with a trainer and, you know, was going through this horrible time. And I just felt like I wanted to try something new. And I took a week off for my birthday and I looked up in a studio at their schedule and I just went because it was the day I could go. It was a Wednesday at 9:30. And the teacher comes over to me and she says, are you new here? I said, yes. She goes, have you ever done Kundalini? I said, no. She goes, it's very different. I said, okay, because that's what I wanted. I was looking, and boy, did that was great. I know some people aren't looking, but we did this thing where we have to breathe in and out and in and out, you know, twisting and twisting for like 3 minutes. And that was the exercise. It's called a torso twist with strong, strong breathing. After that, I was like, what just happened? So I'm a big believer in like talk therapy is great, really great, but also getting things out of the body.
Yeah.
I do a sadhana every morning. It's just a half an hour. Sadhana is a morning practice. And I do this very strenuous stretch pose for 4 minutes where I'm holding myself up. Just my lower back's on the floor. Everything else is off, like a canoe, it's called in yoga. And I pump my navel. It's called Breath of Fire, 4 minutes every day. Now, I'm not bragging. I think it's sad that I need so much. It's kind of sad that I need that much powerful, powerful work for myself in the morning because I have just so much energy and I'm very sensitive and I have a big ego and things hurt me. And when you do that, you're strengthening your aura. You are making yourself resilient. So when things do normally would go in and really destroy a person, it kind of bounces.
So this might be a good time to ask, because you mentioned in just, saying what you were just saying, you mentioned that going through a horrible thing. Maybe you could tell folks, like, what was the horrible thing you went through?
Oh, well, the finding out that my husband was having his own life on the side, it was horrible. So the thing, because I was telling some people today and yesterday, because I was preparing for this, and they said, "What is the big thing that you would say?" This is the biggest thing. Ready? Okay. Is that when it hits you, you feel like, "Hey, nobody does this to me." It's the ego and it's the pride. And that's what most people cannot sit with. And I was able to sit with it, let it hurt, let it cry my eyes out, and say, "You know what? Somebody did do this to me." And if you can sit with that, and if you know the person is worth it, like I knew that this wasn't really whoever my husband was being at the time, it wasn't the true him. He had lost his sister. It was a whole tangle of emotions, and he was just at his lowest low. And I feel like he got dragged under. And I know people don't like when you say save, but I really wanted to go in there and drag him out. And if that's not saving, I don't know what is.
No, I mean, people have this idea that if somebody cheats, that automatically means you have to separate or split up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't always mean that.
It
And I
doesn't.
work with lots of couples where it doesn't mean that at all.
Right. Good. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, I also work with lots of couples where it does mean that, but it's so interesting because when you talk about sitting with the pain, sitting with the trauma, finding a way of incorporating it without freaking out, that is indeed, many people would say who work in trauma, and I did lots of work with folks for a long time in my career working with people who are recovering from trauma, and it's always about being able to sit with it without completely freaking out. And when you can do that, you can process it. And then, that's how couples can make decisions about do they want to stay together or not after infidelity, because they're not freaking out. And the freak out stage is when a lot of couples break up. And it's a shame because a lot of times they break up and, later on figure, oh, we wish we hadn't. Or later on just go through the same thing again because they didn't learn what they needed to learn.
So I said I had a big ego, but I immediately went into what did I do wrong? Or I'm not good enough. I'm too old. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not young enough. I really, it was terrible. It was really terrible. But I had a therapist. I had the Kundalini yoga. I was exercising a lot, and I was learning how to meditate. So my therapist said, "You're doing so many things to help yourself." And that was really helpful that I had so many. I was doing everything, rubbing lavender on my feet. I was doing everything you could possibly do. I have it all listed in this, in this like attachment. If you want, people can all contact me and I can send this to them, all the things that I did to heal. I even made a kit. It could be a wellness, forgiveness kit, or we could be snarky and call it the infidelity survival kit.
I like that. I know it's very cute.
Yeah,
we'll put up your website.
Okay, yeah, because
The session notes it'll show
we'll
up.
have it. Yes.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of books to help myself. So I wanted to change, and Kundalini helps you look at your patterns, where you got these habits from. And I was on his last nerve. He was in a really bad state, and I was taking advantage of him, asking him to do everything for me, and he wasn't being nice to me, so I wasn't being nice to him. And it was really, really bad. But what happened is I started healing myself and taking all this advice and doing these experiments that I also have in my little handy dandy part one of experiments and activities that one can do. Did I lose my train of thought, or am
No, not
I?
at all. Actually, I'm curious since you say that, could you give us an example of one of those activities that, you're suggesting people do?
Yes, I certainly can. There were so many of them. So after I wrote the book, It's not too late, baby. Here's the right this one, and this one comes with the CD, different colors. I started making a how-to, like how I forgave. Well, the first thing is, this was a big one. My husband felt a lot of shame for what he did, and he was asking me to forgive him. And you read the book. I had months and months of not being able to really get there. My therapist would scream at me. She'd go, "He'll never get there." You have to forgive him. You have to. So I have a shame release activity. So think of something you've done in the past that causes you great shame and embarrassment. Write it down and think deeply about the incident or mistake and ask yourself the following questions. So there's six of them. One, does this one incident define who you truly are? So it did not define who my husband truly is. All right. Would you agree that everyone makes mistakes? Yes. Have you forgiven yourself for this one incident? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've driven myself crazy for, not forgiving myself. Number four, would you want people to forgive you? Number five, would you want people to remind you every day of this mistake?
Good point.
And number six, would you want to be judged for this one mistake? So, I wrote, even if he or she did some horrible things, everyone deserves a second, or in our case, a third chance. My parents divorced when I started college, and I seriously needed to figure out how to avoid a divorce. I did not
You
want to
know,
repeat.
the timing of what you were just talking about, I was just thinking, and of course, you know this, and full disclosure that Judy has known you for
A
lo these
while.
many years.
Yeah.
And I didn't, but hello, I mean, we've met. But you know we're Jewish, and many of our listeners know we're Jewish, and we happen to be recording this a little over a week, or just about exactly a week before Rosh Hashanah, which is all about forgiveness. It's all about,
Oh,
repentance and
perfect.
forgiveness.
Oh,
And
yeah.
so the stuff you're talking about from a Jewish perspective is very, very
Oh,
timely.
great.
Yeah.
Good, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll see if I have another one. Patterns and habits. You want to hear about that?
Sure.
Patterns and habits.
Yeah.
So, let's see. I'll just a little lead up to it. Many people I talk to tell me they're afraid to look inside themselves. They don't want to know.
Yeah,
They're
they're afraid what they're going to see, right?
Yeah. I'm more of an everything must be my fault type of person, and that's how I felt. I felt like this was all my fault. Constantly striving to improve. And it may seem like you won't like what you find, but it's profoundly liberating to let go of misperceptions, bad habits, and mind chatter that can stop emotional growth. I wrote, "Remember to smile. We're all human." So before I tell you about this activity, when I was telling one of my yoga students today, she goes, "So did you save Adam or did Adam save you?" Interesting, right?
It is.
So
Well,
pattern.
I've had people, I'll just note, I've had folks in who've been in a situation involving infidelity, and I've had the person who was the one who was, the injured party, the one who didn't do the cheating, express after a lot of work, express gratitude. I've never had anybody say, "Hey, thanks for cheating," but I have definitely had people say, "Wow, I sure have benefited from the growth that I've needed to get through this. It's really been a powerful and a very valuable experience, even though I wouldn't wish it on anyone." But, so they're not condoning it, but they're saying, "Well, I'm grateful for the growth and something needed to happen." So that idea that, you can, did he save you or did you save him? I mean, maybe some of each.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Don't
Now,
let me go.
oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say, when you first found out and discovered the infidelity that was going on and this other life that was happening, was Adam's impulse to try to also stay in the marriage and save it, or did he want to go
Yeah,
off?
no, I like forgave him like that night. Yeah, I was in trauma denial for 2.5 years. There was so many signs, and a lot of it, I was angry at myself for being so stupid. But then I read about
That's
that trauma denial, and I'm like, oh, that's what I was. It was so traumatic that I couldn't even voice it. And I started saying to him towards the, I was like, "Are you having an affair? Like, where were you? Are you having an affair?" you know? Mm-hmm. And his answer would be, nobody likes me.
Which doesn't answer the question, does it? But it deflects
it
the
didn't.
Question.
It didn't. I was so angry at myself for being so stupid. I felt like he wanted me to save him.
Uh-huh. Well, that could be.
And I felt like he was a little angry that it took me so damn long.
It is interesting. I mean, that phenomenon of people not wanting to see what, you know, outsiders would look at and say, come on, this is obvious. It's not obvious when you're in the middle of it. And I always like to, you know, say to people, you have to respect those processes in us that protect us. You know, you're in denial for good reason. You know, it has, obviously it has costs down the line, but that capability that we all have to deny trauma is very useful to help you survive some things.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was, I couldn't even go there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And I wanted to go back to the ego for a second because, so I sat with the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is, this is for the people that are afraid, you know, that you know, get out, I can't deal with this. What happens is when you do forgive someone who deserves it, mm-hmm. they are so blessed. They are so happy and relieved to be forgiven that your ego just goes way back up past where it was before, because you're revered now. I mean, I really feel like that's why I like to use the word, I saved him, although he did save me too. Mm-hmm. Because if you think your ego can't take it, it can. Mm-hmm. Because in most cases, or at least in mine, it really, really, it's every day he loves me, he thanks me, we have fun together. And it's just, you know, it's okay. It's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get to the Kundalini part.
Okay.
So how did Kundalini yoga save your marriage?
All right. Well, a lot of it was breaking these patterns.
Mm-hmm.
We do meditations like for 40 days that are structured to help you break patterns. So the mantra, the chanting, the eye focus, the mudra. So it's all designed, and there's so many different ones. They're all designed to help you break patterns. And, you know, we would read things about, like, you know, that's what I mean about the mother, the grandfather. That's what this activity is, looking in your past.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the patterns. You see what your mother did. My mother divorced my father when she was 55 and I was 17. Here I am, 55, my son's 17. It was like, what? And then I found out that my grandmother hated my grandfather because he gave her a venereal disease. And she was always so mean to him.
You can kind of see that. It's not like she had no reason.
Yeah, but to hold a grudge.
Well,
for
yeah.
And then she got stomach cancer and died. You know, it's not a mystery how you get cancer. Mm. I don't think. Anyway, I shouldn't say that so flippantly. You can edit that out. But anyway, she got stomach cancer and she died. And I think it's related to holding in, as we say in Italy, agita.
Yeah.
Mm.
So the yoga really helped the breaking the patterns, and it calms you. Yoga, Kundalini yoga works on the nervous system, all the systems of the body, but that's like the biggest one is the nervous system. And I'm teaching now 4 classes a week, but I don't teach Kundalini. I teach at a gym, but I try to make it have almost the same effect. It doesn't really, because I can't do all those wonderful twisting exercises, but I still do them.
Uh-huh.
And I notice, even going from 2 yoga classes a week to teaching 4, that I'm different already, and my energy is a little calmer, you know. So it's just designed to really make changes in the brain and changes in the nervous system, and it works.
Mm-hmm. And Adam was open to that.
Oh yeah. So I had started going, and I think he tried it because he could see. He could see that I was changing. And it was I think it was our anniversary. We went to a sound healing, and he loves all the instruments because he's a musician. And he just loved it. And you know, later on in this one class, he started crying. So Kundalini also releases blockage in the body.
Mm-hmm.
You know. PTSD and also, I'm sure you know all about, blockage
Oh yeah.
that
And yoga
manifests in the
is,
body.
among folks who do trauma, yoga is well known as very helpful to folks who've experienced trauma. But Bessel van der Kolk wrote the book, The Body Keeps the Score, which is a very well-known book among trauma folks.
Right.
And that idea that what yoga does for folks is lets them reconnect with their bodies, because a lot of people who've been through severe trauma have learned to dissociate from their bodies entirely. And so yoga is a pathway to let people release those very things you're talking about, the stuff that gets stored in your body.
Yes.
When you can actually experience your body again and not be in freak out mode, that's what lets you process that trauma. So yeah,
Right.
yoga is very highly recommended for that.
Yeah. So he enjoys it. We're actually going to a workshop on Sunday with the teacher who trained me. And when all the guests would come pre-pandemic, when we had our lovely yoga studio right here, we hosted a lot of the teachers and musicians. And I noticed every time, like a teacher, especially if it was a male teacher, that someone his kind of his age came to stay with us, like Adam would just be enlightened after that. You could just see his aura. And during one concert, he just cried. And it's like you're watching a chakra open. You're watching someone crack open, and it was beautiful. People say, how do you forgive someone when they're following you around the house with a guitar, singing Kundalini songs to you? How do you not forgive them? I was having so much trouble forgiving, but then he was doing things like that.
So you ended up writing a memoir, and the book that you wrote, and it was interesting in reading it, because you go back and forth between earlier times in your life and then later times dealing with the infidelity, dealing with your marriage. And I'm curious, a couple of things. One thing, just how come you wanted to write a book at all? What do you hope people will take from it? And how did you decide to structure it the way you structured it?
Okay. Well, first I wrote the music, and then I'm like, I just jumped out of meditation one day after a class, and I went, there has to be a book. And the yoga teacher at the time who owned the studio said she could edit it for me. So we worked together. And so that's how I decided to do the book. I think that show, This Is Us, was popular, and
Oh
somebody
yeah.
told me about the going back and forth.
Yes.
And
Yep.
I thought that would be a good way to connect. Because I feel like I was Eva enough. I talk about Eva enough I was always had so much love. My father used to peel me off of him, like, enough, And when my brother Anthony came to live with us, he liked all the attention. He'd let me hang on him. I would literally hang on this poor man, and he didn't mind. Because he had his own story, because he's adopted, and he had his own lack of love. So the two of us, I think, really filled a void. So where was I going with that?
Well, and more
About why you
generally,
decided to write the memoir.
yeah, the fact that you wanted to, you realize there was a book
Oh,
in
I
there.
had too
I'm
much
also
love. All right.
curious, yeah, what are you hoping people will take from it also?
Okay. So, right. I wanted to write the memoir because at the time I was working as a musical director for a children's theater company. And mostly every child in there was from a divorced home. The mother was always the, am I allowed to say BITCH?
I
Yes.
mean, you can use the word. Yes,
Yes, you
we're
could
not
say
fussy.
she was always the bitch. The husband was always the moron. The children were crazy, wild, out of control with ADHD. And my heart was breaking for these children. So I figured if I write a book, I could be like the Susie Orman of keeping families together. I'm gonna be famous. I'm gonna win a Grammy. I'm gonna and it didn't turn out that way, but on a much, 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 much tinier scale, I feel like I help people every day. Every time I discuss this. Discussed this with a friend of mine the other day, and she goes, "You know what? I really think I need to forgive my friend. I'm holding a grudge." I said, "Are you being a punisher? Are you punishing her?" And so I helped her. And I feel like every time I talk to one person, It makes a difference. But I'm disappointed because I would have these events and I would hold Kundalini forgiveness workshops. And it was, you know, people just do their own thing. And it was really hard to get it off the ground. And as I'm trying and trying and putting so much energy into this, my marriage is getting better and better and better. My husband's being so wonderful and so wonderful. And I'm like, what am I doing? I was so torn between, you know, working on the book and trying to do this. And, you know, he's not here for a reason. He did a lot of work. He deserves a real round of applause. But to stand here in front of you, that's not him. And he said, I'll never be able to do that. You can work on your book, but I'll never. It's too shameful for him. He can't be here. But I trust me, he did his work. And we're very proud of him.
Now, I'm interested in like family dynamics, because I'm sure that when you told your family that he's cheating on you, I'm sure they did not view him too kindly. So how does one get your family to accept him back in the fold after you've had something like this without their saying, you know, here comes the cheater, like every time?
My family's amazing. They're amazing. You know, I told them what he went through. Oh, some of this is so personal and really hard to talk about, but a lot of the underlying issue has to do with abuse, childhood abuse. I'm just going to leave it at that, because it doesn't really matter. Any kind of abuse for a child is horrible. And when his sister got sick and died, it was very compounded. And I presented it to my family, like, you know, he went through this horrible thing. I think he's really suffering. And, you know, I didn't make him out to be this horrible person. I made him out to be someone who was really sinking.
So obviously a lot of it had to do with your approach to it.
Yeah.
It's interesting, as I've worked with families on occasion, you know, extended families where that's been an issue for one reason or another. It could be infidelity or something else, but a couple that was teetering and then they decide to stay together, repairing the relationship with their respective families. Even the, let's say it's the woman, like in your situation, where it was the man who was the one who was unfaithful, even with her own family, often she had repair to do. Because there, sometimes they would look at her and say, well, you're crazy to stay with someone who cheated on you. And she would, you know, I'm often in situations with extended family members where I'm noting, you know, following the lead of the person who is your person it's difficult to do, but that's what you need to do. But you know, it has a lot to do, like you were saying, it has a lot to do with how the person in your position presents it to your own family, so that it paves the way for him to be able to make the repairs he needs to make with extended family.
I know, it's really awkward because, you know, the whole base, the root of the problem, you know, is such a personal thing. But in order to make people understand like why he cheated, it's like, I kind of can't avoid it. No, it's really.
Well, and it not only speaks to why he cheated, it speaks to your understanding of why he cheated, which is an element for judging you. Do you know what I mean? That's how your family can look at you and say, oh, you're not crazy. Because you have an understanding that they can appreciate.
I think experiment number one is, wait, or maybe I edited, so I know we're not live, so I could take a second right here.
You can take a second anyway. We generally leave this pretty well unedited unless there's something really egregious. Okay. You haven't crossed that line yet, so we'll let you know.
Let me just think of what I was going to say here. Maybe I did take that part out. Where did I put it? Oh, here it is. Yeah. Getting to the root of the issue. So I said, I put myself in my husband's shoes. Wouldn't I want to be forgiven for something? Before we were married, I mean, I can just tell you, before we were married, we're sitting on the bed in my apartment in the city. And, I had just come home from a Werner Erhard. Do you remember
the I remember
S,
it.
S,
yes.
the
sure.
S trading. Yeah. And then it became the forum. So I did the forum, I did the 6 day, and then, which was really great. You know, that was really great. And then I did little, little seminars. Like one was about money, one was about organizing, one with this one was about sex. And it was like, who did this? And we'd all have to stand up. Who's done this? We all have to stand up. So you're in this room, and you know, that the sexual abuse came up. And so when I came home that night, we're on the bed, we're talking, and I told him, that's when he shared. So he shared, and I was like, oh my God. And I didn't think about it, but you know, you file it away there. And so my big thing is, a lot of times when people get divorced and the husband is doing things like going to strip clubs, and the wife doesn't even know what's in his past, that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I knew that that was in his past. And to me, it was shame, dark secrets, don't talk about it, hide it under the rug. And it was the same thing. I felt like he was just putting himself back down there. Mm-hmm. Because I knew, because I opened it up. I was the one that said, you know, I brought that up so you know about your spouse. You know something about their past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is interesting that, you know, you're reminding me something of someone we interviewed several months ago as a sex therapist who talks about how even monogamous couples, you know, where the agreement is sexual monogamy, need to still understand what they mean by monogamy. You know, because it's not the same for every monogamous couple. You know, is going to a strip club cheating or not? For some couples, yes. For some couples, no. And so, of course, sometimes the couples differ on that, which is where the problems occur. Or yeah. is masturbating without your partner cheating? For some couples, that's yes. For some couples, it's no. It's right. Amazing. All the stuff that's possible now on the internet that never used to be possible. Mm-hmm. I was just seeing somebody comment on that in a virtual conference I was at earlier today, where they mentioned the fact that, you know, you can be cheating on your spouse with them when you're lying in bed with them, because you could be doing it on your phone and they wouldn't even know it, you know, depending on cheating.
Yeah.
It's really fascinating. So all of that stuff in terms of understanding, you know, an abuse history, for example, will often come up in terms of how one experiences shame, what one thinks of as too shameful to discuss with their spouse. And that's the sort of thing that can facilitate, I don't want to say it caused it, but it can facilitate infidelity if somebody is just too ashamed to talk.
Yeah, I remember going out to my little sister's house, and my brother-in-law said, come on, Adam, we're going out for a beer. You know, he like sat him down. He's like, what the hell are you doing? You know, that's what they told me after, you know, and they just had he has a huge heart, my brother-in-law, and God bless him. And, you know, we all hugged it out and we got through it together. It was, my family was great.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, tell folks how they can reach you, you know, what your website, you know, tell us the stuff we should put in the episode notes for this podcast.
Okay. I think that at the back here, I thought I had it all in here. Oh, I sent you another document. That's where it was, where I sent you another document. Mm-hmm. And so how do I do that? So the website is itsnottoolatebaby.com.
Itsnottoolatebaby.com. Okay. And that's how they can find out. Yeah. All one word. Yes.
It's not. Yeah. No apostrophe. Itsnottoolatebaby.com. And you can email me there. Eva, there's no G in the email. EvaKane913@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I have the book. I have the CD. And I would love to send you this free part one, and I'll get to part two of how I, you know, it's my experiments and activities. So there's a bunch of fun experiments that, you know, about, you know, wanting to be right all the time. Where does that get you? I know you guys like a little sex on your in your podcast. So, you know, I have here, do you want to be right or do you want a relationship? You could change that. Do you want to be right all the time or do you want to have sex?
Yeah, there you go. Words to live by.
Right. So folks, on your website, they can find how to contact you and find this information. Yes,
I'd be happy to send perfect. That. I also have my little infidelity kit, everything I did to heal.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. We hope you enjoyed that interview with Eva.
Indeed. Let's close our podcast today by, first of all, reiterating a few of the things we mentioned in the intro. First of all, go get the books that I wrote. They're great.
Right. We have Reigniting the Spark, Why Stable Relationships Lose Intimacy and How to Get It Back. And It's Not About Communication, Why Everything You Know About Couples Therapy Is Wrong.
Yes, and go get a hold of those. I think they're really good books, frankly, and they cover a lot of neat stuff.
They sure do.
And sign up for my newsletter. Mm-hmm. That's Dr. Chalmers' newsletter. You can get that through our website, ctn7.com. When you sign up for it, you will get a free copy of one of my booklets, a free PDF, not a paperback one, but a free PDF. You can buy the booklets, by the way, on Amazon as well, but you don't have to do that with at least one of them because you get it for free and you'll figure out what it is when you sign up for my website.
There you go.
And let's put in another word for our sponsor.
The Blue Tent, Erotic Tales from the Bible by Laria Zilber.
Yes, indeed. Go to lariazilber.com, LariaZylber, lariazilber.com. You will see information about the book. There are links there. You can go right to the Amazon pages to order the book. Mm-hmm. It's available in paperback, also in Kindle, also in Audible version. And Judy actually did the narration for Laria.
Yes, I am the narrator for that.
Yeah, Judy and Laria are really like that.
They're very tight.
If you go to lariazilber.com, you can see videos of Laria and you'll just see just how tight they are. It's really quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So on that note, until next time,
remember, be kind,
don't panic,
and have faith.